if there are over 7 billion people on earth, then why do I feel so alone? If there is someone for everyone, then why does it feel like it's just me? If I have friends, then how come I can end up feeling so friendless? If I have family, then why do I sometimes feel like a family of one? These are some of the questions that I've had to ask myself at times, but I have never seemed to get an answer until I look into the Word of God. The truth is, if you know Jesus, you are not alone. You are not alone. No matter how many times you have walked by yourself, God says that He will be with you wherever you go. No matter how many times you have fallen and had to pick yourself up, Jesus says that He knows you and that He laid down His life for you. You are not alone. No matter how hard things have gotten, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You are not alone. No matter how long you've been waiting, Jesus says that He is coming back, and until then He has sent His Holy Spirit to live in you. You are not alone. No matter what your situation has turned into, Jesus promises that you can find rest in Him. You are not alone. No matter who has deserted you, Jesus says that He will be with you always. You are not alone. But the Bible does show us what loneliness is like. Utter loneliness is what Jesus experienced as He hung on the cross. Loneliness, sin, death, and separation are what He overcame so that we could be with God, so that when we repent and turn to Him, we can rest in His presence, so that we can experience His friendship forever.
Do you have people to call up to do things? I don't. What's wrong with me? I can't find people who seem like they might be good friends to have. How can I find people and how can I connect with them? Why can't I find a relationship? People tell me I'm attractive. I know lots of people on a surface level, but I don't have friends like other people do. I find it hard to talk to people. I only have one friend and I've known her since kindergarten. Meeting new people just doesn't work for me. Maybe you've said one of those things before. Many people feel lonely, and it's strange because we seem so connected as a society, yet loneliness is prevalent. I did the yearbook for my kids' elementary school, and one of the things that we did this year was ask would you rather questions. If you've ever played would you rather questions, there's a G-rated game you can play with elementary school kids. And you give them a would you rather, and you give them two choices. And I asked them, would you rather have one best friend, or would you rather have several good friends? And this is what some of them said. One girl said, I'd rather have several. Because what if your best friend was gone and nobody wanted to play with you because you and your best friend were always mean to everybody? Several good friends. Because what if I lose that one best friend? A best friend because he or she would care if you fell and got hurt. A best friend because then you know that you have a loyal and trustworthy person to tell things to. Several because, like they say, the more the merrier. More is better than less. Or several friends so I could have lots and lots of friends, so I'm not alone. These are fourth graders. And even in fourth grade, they are aware of the fact that we're built for relationships. And even they are afraid of being alone or being lonely. Sometimes when we feel alone, it just lasts for a short amount of time, but sometimes it's prolonged. And I wonder, what does God say about loneliness? And what does the scripture say about loneliness? Is it even addressed? And the answer, thankfully, is yes, it is addressed. Because even those of us who are supposed to have it all together still have days when we feel lonely and alone in this world. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the fact that God is always with us no matter what. Next week, we're going to talk about how God is always with us no matter what. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how God designed the church to alleviate loneliness and how the church is supposed to be a community of brothers and sisters who are there for one another in tough times. And finally, we're going to talk about how Jesus himself experienced loneliness and how scripture tells us that even God the Father experienced loneliness at times in the Old Testament. That's comforting to know that Jesus, our Father, our God, has experienced the same things that we have experienced, those same difficulties and those same types of despair. But today we're going to talk about we are not alone because God knows you by name and God loves you as his child. As a father, God knows you and loves you and knows just what you need when you need it. And God is with you at all times, even when you don't realize it in your life. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture comes in 1 Kings 18. And it's about the prophet Elijah. And you can see on the picture there, he calls down fire from heaven and he defeats these prophets and prophetesses of Baal. 950 verses 1 is the battle. And God shows up for the one and defeats all of these prophets and prophetesses of Baal. Elijah, you would think, would be on some spiritual high, like, yes, this God just came through. But in the next chapter, the very next chapter, Elijah is running for his life because the queen finds out what happens and she goes on a rampage and kills all the other prophets of God. So Elijah is feeling alone and feeling like he's the only one left. And so he flees and stops in a cave. He's sitting in the cave feeling isolated, feeling desolate, feeling all alone and asking himself, why me? Why am I the only one left? God comes to him. And first it comes in a windstorm. A giant windstorm comes. It's throwing rocks off the mountain. And Elijah waits and God is not there. Then there's an earthquake. Certainly God's got to be in the earthquake. But God's not there. Then a fire comes, and God's not in the fire either. And then a small whisper comes, and that's when Elijah knows God is there and is with him. God sometimes doesn't come in the way that we want him to come in, or the way that we think he should come. When we're lonely, we cry out and we beg for God to show himself to us, and we wait expectantly and sometimes impatiently, because we want the windstorm or the earthquake or even the fire would be good. But often God speaks to us in that whisper, but we're too busy or we're too loud to hear it and to hear God speaking. And what God told Elijah is the same thing that he's telling you this morning. You are not alone. I know you, and I'm with you. God knew what Elijah needed, and he knows what you need too. Jesus said, "And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows." Now, if I were to ask you how many hairs are on your head this morning, some of you looking around might not take too long to count. But most of us, I'm not making eye contact with anyone. And I was thinking, like, this is my daughter's hairbrush, and it's really actually pretty clean. She cleaned it just this week, so it didn't work out very well for an illustration. But there's still some hair in here, right? Oh, you put that up already? So there's still some hair in here. And then there you can see Logan and Cameron, because I was going to talk about Cameron. I had to put Logan up there. But he knows your hair. And if you brush your hair, you know those brush, it's going to fall out. And we're okay with that if it's gray, right? Okay? But God still counts that. He knows that. And he knows how many hairs are sticking up on Logan's head here. He knows that. And he knows how many you lose. He knows how many you have. He knows when it's growing. He knows how long it is. And if your hair is so valuable to God that he's numbered it, how much more important is the rest of you to God? When you have something that's important, you keep track of it, right? Generally. Okay? Like if you have a child at a store, you want to keep track of the child in the store, right? Okay? Now, since she's not in here, I can tell you, Lori lost Cameron at Barnes & Noble a couple weeks ago. And I'll deny it if you tell her I told you. But for the most part, we keep track of our children, right? Because they're important to us. They're valuable to us. God keeps track of you the same way because he loves you and he cares for you. And God in Hebrews says, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Some of you probably are thinking to yourself, well, that's nice, but not really me, not really true. If you knew who I was, you wouldn't be saying that. Well, Jesus was walking through a town one day and he was healing people and preaching and teaching. And there was a man who couldn't see over the crowd. And so he wanted to see Jesus. And so he climbed up in, you know the song, a sycamore tree for the Lord. He wanted to see. Okay? And it's Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree because he wants to see Jesus. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, we're not fans of the IRS now. But in those days, the tax collector would not only collect the taxes that the government said that you had to pay, but the tax collector would also take some for himself. So he was robbing you without you even realizing he was robbing you because he was saying it was all taxes. And so Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come on down because I'm going to your house. I can't even say it without singing the song. Because I'm going to your house today. All right? He's calling out Zacchaeus from the tree and says, I'm going to your house. You tax collector, you sinner, you thief, I'm going to your house and I'm going to have a meal with you. Now, having a meal with someone in this time is equivalent of saying, I accept you and I want your fellowship and I'm saying you're okay with me. And so when Jesus is saying, I'm coming to your house, he's not just saying, I'm hungry and you might have some good food since you're stealing all this money. He's saying, I accept you for who you are. I know you're a thief. I know you don't believe in me. But I still accept you and I still love you. And I'm going to come dine with you today. Zacchaeus, in response to Jesus' love and acceptance, does change his ways and does say that he's going to return the money. But that wasn't a prerequisite for Jesus coming to him and saying, I accept you, I love you, I'm coming to your house today. There was no probationary period for Zacchaeus. There was no waiting for Zacchaeus. Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a child of God and said, because you're a child of God, I love you and I accept you, no matter what. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus loves you as a child of God, no matter what you've done in your past. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was persecuting Christians. He was actively fighting against the message of the gospel. Yet Jesus wiped the slate clean for him and said, "Your past is your past, and I am your future." John 10 says that Jesus is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd knows his sheep, and you are his sheep. As a child of God, God loves you, and God paid the price for you on the sin. It says the shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. Jesus laid his life down for you and for me, no matter what. There's no asterisk with fine print attached to the gospel. There's no fine print. Jesus loves you and died for you. And with Jesus, you are never truly alone, because he says he will always be with you. Romans says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" Doesn't mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry, or destitute or in danger, or threatened with death. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons. Neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, friends, what can separate us from Christ's love? What can separate us from Christ's love? What can separate us from Christ's love?
Nothing.
One more time. What can separate us from Christ's love?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not death, not life, not angels, demons, fear, worry, sin, powers of hell, nothing. Now, you may not have been to church in a while. Maybe never. But maybe somebody invited you and you're here today and you came because someone invited you and you wanted to be polite. But maybe you're here for a reason, and I believe you're here for a reason this morning. And that reason is to know the message of the gospel and to know Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to just come once in a while. He doesn't want you to stay in the back, just observing things. God wants to get to know you, and he wants you to know him. And he comes to you and he says, "I am going to pay the price for your sin." Because we've all sinned. We've all done things against God. And Jesus said, "I'm going to pay that price for you so that you don't have to pay that price and sacrifice yourself for your sins." And that's called grace. And that's the message of the gospel. That no matter what you've done in your past, Jesus wipes the slate clean. Because what can separate you from God? Nothing. I mean, do you get that? Do you really understand that? Because that's what matters. All this stuff that churches are great about arguing with you about, like all the different things of theology, those things are important, yes. But when it comes down to it, what really matters is, does God have your heart? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah? Do you believe that he's the Son of God come to you, calling out to you to love you and to have a place for you for all eternity? Because the rest can fall to the wayside, but Jesus is what we have. And on Easter, we celebrate the fact that Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead, conquering death for us, giving us that hope for eternal life.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.